You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Milena Dragicevic-Sacic. Milena, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, you are welcome.
Milena, where are you right now?
I'm in my living room in Belgrade. So during this COVID crisis, and that's something very unusual for me, I'm already 6 months in Belgrade, at my home. So usually I travel in foreign countries 3 to 4 times per month. So I'm a great traveler. So every week, 2-3 days I'm abroad, like half abroad, half at home. And these 6 months I'm in Belgrade enjoying, in fact, kind of family and home life.
That sounds nice. And we're going to talk about one of your books, but are you also writing during this time? How is it to be in this sort of great pause of the of COVID? Does it change your work habits at all?
In fact, my work habits are now, let's say, a little bit different. More desk research, what we call in Serbian language cabinet research, and less field research. Although I feel part of this desk research, which is done online, as field research. And I'm dealing exactly two research in parallel, one initiated by European Union, UNIC, European Cultural Centers. They have something called Cultural Diplomacy Platform, and I'm a researcher who is already from 2016 part of this Cultural Diplomacy Platform, and we are making a research global. With my colleagues, the leaders of the project are Pierangelo Isernia and Alessandro La Monica from University of Siena, but they have a huge consortium from United States, Latin America, Australia. I am representative for the Western Balkan countries, and we are doing research about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the cultural sector and implication for international cultural relations. So we just finished the scoping review. I made a review for Bosnia and Herzegovina, Albania, Macedonia, Serbia, Kosovo, Montenegro, and now we are focusing on making recommendations, because in fact the biggest part of the impact is on really limiting international cultural relations, especially for new generations, for us that are already in international networks, that have stable international networks. We continue to use digital tools and to continue our work together. But for the young ones that need conferences as a platform to meet each other, that needs festival to present for the first time or second time their artistic works and to exchange with others, for them this period meant really a huge, huge barrier. At the other side, I am doing with my colleague, also Milena Stefanovic, research about the impact of the pandemic on the ways of operating of cultural institutions, of public cultural institutions. And we selected museums and theaters and interviewed them. So that's the reason I feel also that I'm doing kind of the field research, because we were visiting also everything what was possible to be visited in theater, because we have certain theater performances for few audiences and so on. But we also visited all these virtual performances, virtual museum visits, but also different activities that museum offered in public spaces. So we try to study what are the new narratives, that the new models of work that museums and theaters are offering. And we have just finished one paper and sent to one international journal. So our research work somehow is continuing, is going far beyond the borders. But that's, as I said, that's possible for my generation. So I am in this very moment looking at the Festival Onigère in Mali, making evaluation for the one Dutch foundation, Deun Foundation, that is financing this Festival Onigère. So going, let's say, virtually to Africa on one side. On the other side, for UNESCO in Bangkok, I'm just preparing the research and the seminar and training in cultural policy implementation of the UNESCO Convention 2005. So you see, from Africa to Thailand, I will be in a few days in China in conference, virtually, of course, and so on. So it's my working habits continue to be very, how to say, actively used. Only the ways are now more and more digital, which is a little bit strange for my generation, but I think we are totally now used to it, and all sorts of webinars are daily practice, in fact.
So this is fascinating, you know, to hear about, you know, how everything is changing, and of course that makes sense with international travel being cut, but I'm also fascinated to hear in your research what is happening. How have theaters or art spaces adapted to this new kind of shutdown and lockdown with the pandemic? What have you seen? Is there one example of what you've seen that seems particularly interesting?
Say,
yeah, because of course people are doing Zoom talks and all of that, but that's also sort of tiring.
I would like to say about something that I liked very much, and I made personal little research. It's a virtual project, a UDOM project. It's a kind of DOM means home in our language. U, it's a shortening of Yugoslavia. So Museum of Yugoslavia, which is located in Belgrade and which has a very difficult task to keep a memory of a country that do not exist anymore and that no one, as authorities, are not interested in from any of the countries of former Yugoslavia. So they keep going in spite of everything, but they're making so innovative and different projects. And this one that they proposed during pandemic was totally participative, not only interactive. They made a lot of interactive projects, but this one is doesn't exist without us citizens, and not only from Serbia, but from all countries of former Yugoslavia. So they address every person, average, normal citizen, whoever wants to present what is his favorite object at home that is still using or at least exhibited and so on as a souvenir on the country that we used to live in, Yugoslavia. And the people made photos of those objects,
so,
but of course they had to create narrative. They had to put them into story.
Yeah, go on.
And so they collected a huge number of this, and they created a virtual exhibition of the, I mean, the objects, they've been so different. They've been some, memorabilia on some theater shows, Yugoslavian film festival, and so on. But there were also a very sophisticated product that we, once upon a time, were very proud of, electronic industry, our first TVs, radio, and so on, which were produced by our factories, the first extensively nicely designed telephone. And it was really prior to these digital phones and so on. It has the design, it was Slovenian design, okay? Slovenian in former Yugoslavia, they were most of us intellectuals from Belgrade, for example, us in my home, everything in kitchen, everything in bathroom was produced in Slovenia, but still, that was still product of our country. And we now, all of these factories collapsed nearly everywhere. Some of them survived in Slovenia. So these are souvenirs, not only on our lifestyle, on how it used to be in 60s and 70s. All these narratives that were constructed about idea of a country which was proud to exist. Now it's a bit of a different situation.
Yeah, yeah. That's so interesting. Let me ask you about your book, too. I know you've written several books, but you have a book on the art and culture of dissent. Is that correct? Can you tell
yes.
me a little bit about that?
Yeah. In fact, my first book was called The Art and Alternative, and it literally had finished the last word that I put in this book was, in fact, about a protest manifestation of 9 March 1991. So this first book finished, Yugoslavia still existed. This first protest was for the freedom of television, of the journalism and so on, in 1991. And then after that, Yugoslavia dissolved, war started, etc. So I was following and actively participating together with artists in this distortion of the country. Evil of every war, and especially civil war, is always extremely, extremely cruel. At the beginning, all cultural institutions in 92, 93, 94, they've been totally stacked, fearing, not knowing how to behave, what to say, what to do, what to program. For example, our theaters, they choose to perform classics. So never more Molière, Shakespeare, and so on, because they were sure that no one can complain about it. That's classical literature, that's sure, that's okay. No one is going to accuse them for that. So
very interesting. And this book is in English or Serbian only?
Unfortunately, this one about art of dissent is only in Serbian. I have some text in English that relates to this, how artistic collective, how artist activism started to raise pacifist, something like Bread and Puppet, end of 60s against war in Vietnam and so on. So here also, in Zagreb, in Belgrade, in Sarajevo, it was first the artists that started making public performances on the streets because, as I said, official theaters, city theaters, they've been a little bit fearing, so they chose something neutral. So the troupe, the artistic collectives in performing arts, in visual arts, even in contemporary dance, that's also very interesting that in the Western Balkans, contemporary dance is the most politically radical art form. That's very unusual. Usually before, we were thinking that the ballerinas, ballet dancers, they don't really think socially. They don't think, but here, even now, today, this is the contemporary dance artists and choreographers. They are making very thoughtful performances about, for example, new labor laws, about capitalism, because we were entering from socialism to capitalism. So it meant a lot of stress and a lot of dilemmas in ethics, in value changes. Public interest was replaced by private interest, and that's something new. Something that we were not used even in capitalism that was prior to Second World War, because we were a capitalist country, Kingdom of Yugoslavia, but it was capitalism of equal capital. There was no such differences as they existed in, for example, Romania, or in Hungary, in neighboring countries. Why? Because Serbia was a peasant country but without feudal system, every single peasant had the same number of hectares. So agricultural land was not having big proprietors. We didn't have land aristocracy who then invested in industry and so on. We had small land proprietors, and that's it. So ethics of equality in society is still today very present. Unfortunately, it's linked also to authoritarian character of the society. So society respects a leader, but financially, they like that we are all equal. So capitalism of today do not. So it provoked a lot of artists. So my book is, in fact, in a certain, I would say, kind of a mapping exercise to go through different art forms, through visual art, theater, digital art. So first, on the cover, for example, of my book is the work of art, Jugo Museum, of our great artist, Mrđan Bajić. That is the first digital art project done by someone who is legitimate artist, let's say, not some student who makes experiments.
That's so interesting. Yeah, that's so interesting and exciting to hear about. I want to ask you one more question before we go. What are you reading now for yourself? What's your local reading?
Of course, I'm always reading many books. Some books are very, professional, I have to read them due to my cultural management, cultural policy issues. So all new books in cultural policy and management. Due to my project in Mali, I'm reading something very important. It's about entrepreneurial Maya, which is a very African, very Mali specific style of entrepreneurialism and management. But I also read a lot of poetry and belletristics. And the book that I finished this morning, in fact, is the book of Divna Vuksanović, professor of aesthetics at my University of Arts and Philosophy of Media. But besides of her also theoretical books, she's writing a lot of poetry and novels. And this is a kind of short novel called The Girl with the Stick. And that's, how can I say, it's a kind of a metaphysical thriller. It's very exciting. It's about this girl, which is kind of herself, that is going from Tallinn, Estonia, so that's Baltic, of course, Belgrade is, the toponyms are covering also half of the globe, of the planet. So part of the novel happens in Baltic countries, part in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, part in Belgrade, of course, but even one step is on Solovetsky Islands, which are happen to be the first concentration camp, lager, in Soviet Union, created even in 20s. And that's making those, connecting those topos in this time of globalization through eyes of one confused and very, how would say, weak girl that even needs this stick as a prosthesis to walk and so on. It's really gives you a lot of, here are also, because as I said, she's philosopher of media. So then logically, one of the places where the things are happening is a radio studio in Tallinn, Estonia, and so on. So for me, it was a big joy and big excitement to read this book. So I even get inspired to write a small note, maybe to publish somewhere, which is not often the case that I'm for the new
like
novels
that.
Of Serbian authors, I'm writing something. No, not usual thing.
Milena, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today and for your continued work, which is very exciting to hear about. Thank you so much for your time today and work.
No problem. I'm also I'm someone who really enjoy my work, and that's something that is so I have
well, thank you.
To
thank you
work
so much.
Really, in an inspirational area. Okay.
Thank you
very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.